name of the Lord our God. He is worthy to be praised. Glory to your name, Father. We worship you, God, for you are King of Kings and you are Lord of Lords. We thank you, God, for the atmosphere is filled with your spirit, God. Father, we thank you, Lord. I decree and declare over this place, God, liberty. You are a God that set the captives free. And Father, you said that, Lord God, that you said whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And so we decree and declare victory over the mindsets of your women, God. Father, we tear down every stronghold now in the spirit that has kept your women bound. We tear down every thought and imagination that has put itself up against the knowledge of God, and we tear it down now in the spirit. And I pray that every heart is open, open to receive your word, oh God, that, Lord, that they will walk in liberty. They will walk, Lord God, with impurity of heart. Father, that they will walk, Lord God, decreeing and declaring your word, God. I decree and declare women of faith, God, boldness and courage in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, for you are God of victory, giving them triumphant victory in everything that they do, everything that they speak, God. When your word is being released off their lips, God, I pray for the manifestation, God, in the name of Jesus, God, that they will see instantaneous miracles, signs, and wonders, God. I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that, Lord, as they begin to pray and decree and declare your word in prayer, that they'll see, Lord God, mind shift. Lord God, they see their household saved, God. They'll see people being delivered and set free, God. In the name of Jesus, we bless your name, oh God. For you are magnificent and powerful, almighty, and your word is true and it never fails us, God. You are so awesome, God. For you are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are a mighty, powerful, working God. And we bless your name, Lord. We bless your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I decree that no weapon formed against them is able to prosper. And when the enemy come in like a flood, that you will raise up the standard against them, oh God. Father, I thank you for victory. I thank you, Father, they are women of wisdom. They are women, Lord, of power. They are women, Lord God, that walk in obedience to your word, oh God. And they will not compromise, God. I thank you, Father, for justice in their life, God. Lord, I thank you for everything that they see, every place that they go, Lord God. Father, they begin to walk the word of God, Lord God. They begin to live it. They begin to decree it. They begin to declare it, God. And Father, that the land that they walk on, Lord God, and they will, Lord, decree and declare that it is for you, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that they will be that mouthpiece on their jobs. God, every area of influence in their life, God, that you will be enthroned upon their hearts, God. Lord, I thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit, and I decree and declare tonight, Lord God, that they will be set free. They will be delivered from the hurts from their past. From the word, curses shall be broken tonight. I thank you, Lord, for their peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding, God, will reign and rule in their life, God. We bless your name, Lord. Thank you for showing up in this place, that when we call upon you, God, that you answer and that you hear the cry of your people. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless your name, God. Your very breath, breathe. Breathe, Lord, over your women. Let the manifestation of your presence engulf them, Lord. That every concern, every hurt, every pain, every betrayal be released and broken off of them, Lord, tonight. I thank you, Father, for restoring marriages. I thank you for your healing power, for healing their bodies. I decree from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, I decree healing. Down to the cellular level, healing and restoration, God. in the name of Jesus. Give them hope where hopelessness, Lord. Give them peace. Wind of your spirit, of peace, all confusion, I command you to go. Fear, go. Loose your hold now. Depression, go. Fear, go. Doubt, go. Get out of the past. Hold on to the past. Let your Holy Spirit rest. Hover. Hover, Lord, over your women and over your men tonight. Hover. I decree and declare breakthrough. There's many in this house that financial breakthrough was coming because you said in your heart to the Lord that you want to help build and establish the kingdom. God heard your prayer. God is bringing realignment. Some of you may feel it. There's this urgency of realigning your heart, your life, up with God's will and plan. There's been a travail in the night in prayer. Some of you can't sleep. Because God has been waking you up in the middle of the night. Because he's pouring his heart, his desires, his passion into your spirit. And the Lord said that, hear what I'm saying in this hour. For I'm calling you, you women of God, men of God, to hunger and thirst after me. He said, they that hunger and thirst after me shall be filled. There's new vision, new plans, new things being put together for kingdom ideas that God is releasing from heaven into your lives. New ideas that I'm giving you to establish my kingdom here on earth. Strategy how to bring wealth into the kingdom. But it's going to be strategic, says the Lord. Very strategic in his plan and his will, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Let's give God some praise. Hallelujah. Come on, let's lift up his name. Bless your name, oh God. Hallelujah. It is a pleasure to be in the house of God. It is a beautiful thing to be here. I'm excited. Thank you, Pastor Marty and Inez, for inviting me to come. I'm excited. I'm really excited. I'm excited about this time and this season that God has us in as a body of believers. I thank God for everything that he's doing in my personal life, and it's been always a compelling in our hearts. I've been getting up in the middle of the night, and some of our intercessors here has been getting up in the middle of the night, and they've been praying and interceding on the things that God is doing. And we've been watching God do miraculous miracles, even physical healing that has been taking place. And we're really excited about what God is doing in the house. and changing situations and circumstances around. We've been really in prayer, Pastor Lisa, and we've been seeing God move. There was a time when I had prayed and got on my knees and wailed and travailed, and I've seen God instantaneously turn a situation around. By the time I got off my knees and Pastor Rob had checked something out, that it was something that had been on my heart, and he saw, we looked at it, and God had did a thing in that thing. Something that you wouldn't think that he will be able to do, he did it. And I tell you, it was just through my travail and prayer that God changed that whole situation around. And he did what the impossible. The thing that was impossible with man, it was possible with God. And I've seen him do that. So I hear you, my sister. And thank you so much for that message. And that's just even confirmation and a reminder of where we need to be, because God wants us in this, he wants us to lay at his feet. He wants to reveal his heart to us. And in that place that we can be a place of humility of heart and love, that we can get the Father's heart and see what he wants, and we can begin to be moving by the Holy Spirit into places and regions and places where he wants his people to rise up to make an impact. So thank you so much for that powerful word. I bless you, and I love her. I love that woman right there. Love her. I've been knowing Lisa for, it has been over what, how many years? Has it been 20 years? Yeah, and I've known her for so long, and she has been so consistent in her walk with the Lord and her love walk and her prayer life. Everything I've seen Lisa rise up to this, to be this miraculous woman. Gosh, you're awesome to me, and I love you so much and your friendship. Can't wait till we hang out some more, too. So I want to give honor to Pastor Marty and Inez Perez. We love y'all. Thank you so much. Y'all are a blessing, and thank you for your pure hearts. Y'all have such pure hearts, and I love your joy, Inez. Pastor Inez, you have such a joy that is contagious. And when people are around you, they feel the life of Christ through you. And I just thank you so much for your joy. Every time that I see you, you're always so bubbly and so loving and full of joy. And Pastor Marty, you're a powerful man of God. I honor you and I respect you. I respect your office that you walk in, and your words, the prophetic words, are so such an accuracy, and it's blessed my life. And God allowed you to speak some things into my life that it has really changed me, and I thank you so much for that and your obedience. Pastor Kevin, did he leave? Okay. We honor y'all, okay? And also the Rock Fellowship Church. Bless y'all. Woo! I love this family. They are so awesome and so full of love. I give honor to Pastor David and Jennifer DeLeon. Thank y'all so much for y'all love. I love y'all so much. Thank you. And Minister Danielle, you got that great name like I have. You share the same first name that I do. God is my judge. And nobody can judge you, but God will stand and fight for you. I just want you to know, I heard your music. Her music is a blessing. So anointed, beautiful. Make sure y'all look on her table back there, because this is powerful. Now, I just was online and I saw your music, and it was beautiful. So I bless you. And Minister Deborah Adams, is she in the house today? Hi. I didn't get a chance to personally meet you. So I just wanted to say God bless you, and I'm looking forward to talking with you later. Amen. So I just thank God for my husband, Pastor Apostle Rob Wallace. This is my best friend. He is one that pours into my spirit. He feeds me. He loves me. He shows me God, and he has since I've met him. He's been a remarkable man of God in my life, and I thank you so much for everything that you do, everything that you speak, how you run our household, how you walk in your power and the authority of God. I love you so much, and I thank you so much for your love and your support. Amen. And Embassy Christian Center, women of God back here, I love y'all. Thank y'all so much. They are some trailblazers in the spirit, and they powerhouse women of God. And I tell you, when they fast, they fast. And when I call a fast, they're right on it, and they always want to. Now, you don't get that often when people want to do that. That we're like, what? It's going to take me. What? How many? We be doing 30-day fast, 20-day fast, and they go for it. And I thank God so much for y'all diligence And they're powerful women of God. They walk in the power and authority of Christ. And the anointing is on their life. It just blesses not only my life, but also those that are in the church. See, they are true leaders. And I thank God that he's given me the opportunity to serve you. And I love you. Thank you all so much. Hallelujah. Okay. Father, I thank you and I praise you for all that you're doing. Father, right now in this season, Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise, God. Father, I pray that every heart be open. And Lord, I pray that the seed of the word be planted in their heart, that their heart will be the soft soil, that the seed will grow up and bear fruit, fruits of righteousness, fruit, Lord God. Lord, that they will see fruit-producing women. They will be fruit-producing women of God. Father, that they will flow in the Spirit of God. They will move by the Spirit of God. And Father, that they will hear this word today that you have given to me. And Father, move by your Holy Spirit. We welcome you, God, and we just thank you right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We all have experienced things in life that has challenged our faith. It has not always been easy. When we look at situations that happen, things that we've been praying for and expecting God to do, we wait on those things. But sometimes in the wait, it can be frustrating. Sometimes you can lose heart in the wait. Sometimes you're expecting God to do something right away, and even in that time of you're waiting for God, those are times that God doesn't want you to have doubt and unbelief. Those are the times that God wants you to begin to trust him. He sometimes put us in situations that will challenge our faith. Sometimes these things that is unexpected, that when we begin to step out, God begins to move. We'll find ourselves in sometimes in wilderness experiences, because even in the wilderness, he wants to show you what's in your heart. And sometimes in those trying times and those tough times, that God want to know even what you've heard the word, if it's still in your heart, and will you speak it? In the most challenging, toughest times in your life, we all been there in that place, and we cried out to God. And it seems like he was so far away that did he hear me? Did he hear what I asked? And why is it taking so long? And you're wondering, God, have you forsaken me? Have I done something wrong? Sometimes we're asking God, did I sin? You're finding yourself repenting, making sure you clear the air. Because I just want to make sure that I'm in right standing with God. And then even in my asking, am I asking with a different motive? But I'm asking for something because I've been waiting on it. I've been longing for it. And I'm desperate for it, because even in my place of being desperate, I want to see God move and change a situation that can help not just myself, but also can be effective in the lives of all those that may hear my testimony. So that they'll know that if God did it for me, he'll also do it for you. Some things seem far away. Some things will take a little time, because sometimes you're in a situation where you're waiting for God to do a change in somebody else, when God's waiting on you to change. And when you begin to change, it's like a ripple effect. You begin to see it from a kingdom perspective, and you begin to see that person from a kingdom perspective, from the love of Christ. And when you see it from that perspective, then you can be able to travail a little longer. Although it may seem forever, but sometimes God is working things out in our own hearts so that he can manifest his power and manifest his word in that situation, that then he can get the praise and the honor and the glory at the end. The title of my message today says, A Touch of Faith That Could Not Be Hidden. God's sovereignty, he's such a sovereign God. He's such a ruler over everything, over our lives, over our situation, over our circumstances. They're not too big for God to handle. Because when we are in this time of testing and travail, God will begin to move upon your heart and begin to reveal his heart for the situation. But God needs us in this position of prayer so that he can reveal his heart to us. And then he would begin to give a strategy for the problem or the situation that you're in. Sometimes we got to get self out of the way so that he can begin to reveal his heart and his will for that other person's life. Not just that, but even in the situation or place or region that God may send you in, we have to be in a position where we can hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, and then we can move out. But we must have faith. Our faith is being challenged daily. Everything that we do is all accompanied by faith. When you sit in the chair and expecting that chair to stay when you sit, that's faith that causes you to sit down in that chair. When you get in the airplane and you expecting that pilot is going to get you from one destination to the next, that's faith. And you're putting your trust in another man to get you to a place. So everything that we do requires faith. It also, every walk that you walk, every place that you go, when you're raising your children, it takes faith. It takes grace and faith. I want to talk about a woman that rose to the occasion. It's in Mark chapter 5, starting at verse 24. I love this story. You will find yourself maybe in this situation in your own life. Although her situation is different, but the principles of God are still the same. Mark chapter 5. Say amen when you get there. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Because she thought, if I could just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding around you," his disciple answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling and with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from your suffering." See, I want to talk about this woman. This woman went to many doctors for 12 years with this illness that she had in her body. And I can just pretty much imagine when you're losing blood like that, it causes your body to be weak and fatigue and anemic. It causes you to feel tired and frustrated and irritated and constantly feeling something leaving from your body, and as uncomfortable everywhere she goes, she had to look around and see if she was okay. And I can imagine every time that she was even in her place by herself, that she was crying out within herself saying, "Will I ever be made whole? Why is this happening to me?" I barely can get up. I barely can even focus on anything else, my life, my purpose, because I'm always got this issue that I have to be reminded of all the time when I move, When I get up, the cramping and all the pain that I'm feeling is always a constant reminder in my mind that something's wrong with me. I want to be made whole, Lord. You have a plan and a purpose for me that you preordained before the foundation of the world. Am I that important to you, God? So she goes to these doctors, and each one giving her all of their diagnosis and do this, put that on, take this. But she's still in a situation where it still got worse. She hadn't had any changes that took place in her life that she can say, oh, it looked like it's getting healed just a little bit. I can't see this woman having victories if she's been dealing with this for 12 years like this. Especially if it got worse. Have you ever had a situation in your life where it's looked like everything, you're right on the edge of a breakthrough and it just looks like, ooh, it's coming. Then all of a sudden, boom, you get turned around and the enemy puts something in your face, and then you find yourself not in a victory, but you're finding yourself in a position of prayer and interceding and doing warfare. Because you were standing right there expecting something different and it didn't change, but it got worse. So God, you're saying, God, okay, now, because it got worse, what you trying to teach me? What are you trying to show me? Okay, because Lord, I know that you're the creator of heaven and earth, and all things work together for them that you love and are called according to your purpose. So how is this going to work out for my good? Show me, Lord, I need a kingdom mindset change. I need a kingdom strategy that's going to shift and change how I see the situation that has appeared to be worse. It doesn't look good. It doesn't definitely feel good. I can't testify about it. Because the testimony haven't come forth yet. The victory, because you're in it. You ever had people ask you certain things while you're in the battle? And you're just trying to keep your face and go, I'm right here. And they're asking you the right question at this time that you're in the battle at your worst. There's no encouraging words sometimes. Thankfully, I got women of God to stand with me in my trials, though, and a husband, too. But sometimes, but when you're in the middle of that situation, you got people asking those kind of questions. But you can't answer it yet. You can just say, to God be the glory. I trust that he will deliver me from this situation. But God got a plan and a purpose for it. And at the end, it's going to work out for my good. And not only is that, it's going to help somebody else. So he's just producing a testimony in you so that you can go and deliver and help somebody else out of that place. Because too much is given, much has been required. And everything that God did for you, you have to go and do for somebody else. Get them free. Get them off that mindset of being defeated and begin to stand up in victory. Begin to give them words of encouragement. They begin the words of declaration over their own lives so that they can continue to walk in the freedom and the victory that God had given you. We all been there. But Isaiah 40:31 says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. See, sometimes you find yourself in a place of weariness in the wait. One day the Lord told me, he said, teach my people how to wait on me. And I said, okay. And I start seeing situations come my way. And I'm saying, okay, God, They that wait on the Lord, he shall renew their strength. I don't want people to experience that scripture. Because sometimes we got to learn how to wait on God. And sometimes we get anxious of heart. And God tells us in the word, be not anxious for anything. But we got to learn to have a praise on our lips and give God the praise while we're in the midst of our battles. While we're in the midst of a place that God put us in, he's allowed us to be in that place. You know, if we stop for a moment and wait on the Lord, we'll find out, you know what? God said in his word that he was not going to put anything on me that I cannot bear. God already saw the situation. He already knew that I could bear up under it. Now I have to just come into agreement with what he said. And so now I got to position myself in prayer. I got to position myself in a place of belief and not doubt, but faith, to arise on the occasion when the trials come and the tribulations hit me. But God said that he will deliver me from them all. And if I know and I stand on that truth, he shall set me free in the midst of every confusion, every battle. He will begin to allow the victories in your life. Not only will you come up, you will come out with the spoil. And it, because he's given us triumphant victories, the blessings of the Lord is upon your life. The blessings of the Lord are upon your life. See, we co-labor with God in warfare. But he need us to be in a position where we can hear. We co-labor with him. See, you know, to co-labor, it's like having a friend say, girlfriend, okay, come with me. You know what? There are some things ahead, and I know we're about to go into this building, and I don't know, you know, there's some trouble that's going in on the other side, but I need you to be listening. I need you to be discerning. I need you to be able to be alert, because I don't know what's coming on the other side. It's nothing like walking with people that are in a like mind. One mind, like mine, one heart and one spirit. Because you're ready, always positioned for readiness in the battle. But you got somebody standing there with you. And they can see what you see. You'd be like, you see that over there? Uh-huh. And you know that's the enemy. But you know God gave us authority over that, right? He gave us victory in the battle, right? Okay, so we're going to go in through prayer. And we're going to wait and see what God do. Sometimes we'll be in a hurry because things that God is doing, you can see a thing and discern it. And you can notice it, but it's not time yet. Sometimes God said, wait and watch what I do. Because there's still some things he's working out. And we may not see what he's working out. But at the same time, in your wait is your trust and your faith in God being challenged. He want to know if you're going to trust him. Not just in the good, but in the bad too. But he's been so faithful to us. See, this woman, all the things that she, not physically just lost from what was taking place in her body, but she also had to deal with financial strain. We all been there. That's not a pretty place when you're really expecting something and you got your bills in front of you and you need those meals paid. God is a God that does things at the last minute, the nick of time, however you want to call it. But have you noticed that he always show up? Have you noticed in your whole entire life that he has never failed us? He has always came through for us every single time. Even when you didn't understand it, there are times you get off the phone and all of a sudden the blessing come right when you get off the phone. I know when, I remember when Pastor and I had gone through our 6 years and a little more of of our wilderness, but God in the wilderness was bringing encouragement. He will send vessels to prophesy to us. He will send in words of encouragement just into our own spirit. People get on the phone and be calling. So, you know, the Lord gave us this scripture for you, and we want to give you this scripture. But we're still in the wilderness. It's tough. See, when God took the children of Israel through the wilderness, he was showing them what was in their heart. And sometimes we have our wilderness experiences, and I want to tell you, stay in there, because God is in there with you. He is not going to leave you, nor will he ever forsake you. But there's a strength that is going to be gained in you that you have never explained, can't even explain it. He will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can think or ask. There's a strength that he provides in you. People look around and say, how you get so strong? That was only because of the strength of God. Because of the trial I went through. Stay in there, because God is in there with you. But even while he's in there with you, you're maturing. You're becoming a true woman and man of God, that you begin to say, okay, I got this weight on my shoulder. But God, you said that you'll never leave me nor forsake me, God. Father, you said, Lord God, persecution and affliction shall come. But you said that you would deliver me from them all. And God, that you have been faithful. You are that same God today, yesterday, and forevermore. And you have never left me or forsaken me, God. I remember in 1983, God, you showed up. I remember you in 2003. You showed up for that too, God. Lord, even in 2007, you showed up for that too. So, God, I know you're with me, God. You are a healer, God. You are the Lord of the breakthrough. I've watched you do it, God, and I know that you are no respecter of persons. And Lord, I know that if you did it for her, you'll do it for me. God, I thank you. Sometimes our situations may not always turn out the way we expected, but God was still with you in the situation. But he was still faithful. That even in that, you still learned something from it. You know, don't look so much as the bad situations being this horrifying place, because you learned something from it. I can't see going through life trusting in God without having a situation or a problem occur, so that you'll know him in every facet of who he is and all of his sovereignty. You know, if you've been healed, you know him as a healer. If he's delivered you from stuff from your past, you know him as a deliverer. There's many things we've all done in our past that we were ashamed about. But even in that, he covered our iniquity. But he still saw us as he created us in his image and in his likeness. He may have known that you didn't know any better. You chose out of the condition of your soul because your soul was not healthy yet. But he knew that once that word get in your heart and in your soul, you'll begin to develop a kingdom-like mentality and not a world mentality. And the things that you were so accustomed to doing, you ain't going to want to do those things no more, because there's a life-changing restoration that's taking place in your life, and you're being reconciled back to the Father. And then he's going to show you every area of your life where the enemy had you in bondage, and then where he tried to make you, where the enemy tried to make you look and enjoy the pleasures of this world. God will begin to show you how he saw you in the kingdom before you even formed in your mother's womb. He knew you. See, he always trying to strip away and take from you and show you what you're not. But God is there standing, showing you what you are. He said, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. He clothed you, wove you into your mother's womb so strategically. Ain't no God like that. I have a twin brother, and he and my fingerprint are not the same. But God made us to be put in a womb together. Two different people, two different bags that we came from. But our fingerprints is not the same. See, he has made us so unique in his creative ability to form us into the women of God and the men of God that he desired for us to be. He also, that's why he didn't make any mistakes. That's why it's foolish to compare yourself to one another, because he didn't make you like nobody else. You got a twin, but you don't act like them, talk like them, walk like them. Your purpose is different. But at the same time, God gave you a plan and a purpose in your life to fulfill. See, in Leviticus 15:19-30, if a woman was on her menstrual, she was to be put apart 7 days, and whosoever touched her was unclean until the evening. And everything she lied on or sat on or was unclean or touched it became unclean. See, this woman should have been in her home quarantined by the laws of ritual purity of her society, but instead, her pain became her purpose. She had determination building up on the inside. You ever been through something so much that you get so frustrated with that thing that it caused you to cry out? It caused you to travail? You get so sick and tired of what your situation look like, what you feel like. You hate the fact that you keep speaking words of death and not life in your situation. You find yourself discouraged all the time. You find yourself speaking over yourself the words that will tear you down and not build you up. God wants us to create an atmosphere for Him, because when you begin to speak, you put a demand on God to move, because He hearing His word being declared in the atmosphere. And when His word is being declared in the atmosphere, God said, there's my word. God said He's watching His word to perform it. He watches over His word to perform it. It doesn't matter how long it takes. If we begin to declare it and decree it, it's going to work out. You're going to see it manifest somehow, some way. It may take another year, but it's just okay. But will you wait on the Lord? See, because sometimes we got to know the times and the seasons we're in. Sometimes you're in that season of wait. You can wait and expect at the same time, though. You can wait and have faith at the same time, though. It's nothing wrong with looking at something that you're desiring, that you're expecting and hoping for. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, that word hope means expected. So it's nothing wrong with looking at something or having a desire in your heart and you're expecting God to move and you're seeing something to take place, but you're looking around, your situation don't look like there's hope in it. But God said, if you just begin to speak life over that thing, God said, wait on me and I'll begin to move that whole situation and circumstance around for your good. And if we just learn how to wait, sometimes in our way, we get frustrated. Sometimes all hope, where is it? But see, even in that place, when you feel like, God, help me with my unbelief, though, you can ask Him, because He loves us so much. He is such a loving and an awesome God that He wants to build relationship in that place of intimacy with us, that He knows your weaknesses. But He said that His power is made perfect in our weakness. So, Lord, I'm weak in this area, but, Lord, show yourself mighty. I'm not thinking this way, but, Lord, I know I could come to you and say, Father, help me with my unbelief. Strengthen me, God, in my mindset. Lord, I pray that when I'm in a trial like this, Lord, anything that is appearing to look like it's bigger than me, God, and it feel like it's going to overtake me, God, strengthen me, God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my mouth be acceptable unto you, O God. You are my rock and my redeemer, Father. Hallelujah. See, this woman had a determination that to a point that she took a risk. She was a woman of faith. This woman of faith. She's down to her last prayer. And she's about to step out of her place of comfort, out of isolation, by exemplifying her faith. She moves towards Jesus so quietly, so respectfully. Don't want to be seen too much, a little bit. But she had desperation in her heart. She was so desperate to be ordinary again, no longer an outsider, looked over, in her mind, unclean to become clean, invisible, despised and rejected, with hope in her heart that compelled her to try something different. or out of the ordinary of one's thought or action. She had one objective. If I could just touch. If I can just touch. If I can just touch the hem of Jesus' garment. Because when I touch him, something is going to happen. You know what? I've been to all the doctors. My condition got worse. But I heard about a God who had healed the sick. He had allowed blind eyes to be opened. He's a God that raised the dead. If he was a God of the impossible, then all things are possible with him that believe. And so if I could just touch the hem of his garment, it's my one last chance. It's my alone one last chance. See, she wasn't just reaching to touch the hem of his garment in the natural. She was reaching to touch it in the spirit with the hope of a new restored body. She was reaching to touch a new way of living. She was reaching to touch a new relationships that she couldn't have because she was in isolation, quarantined by a law. She was reaching for her dreams to touch. She wanted her dreams to be fulfilled. Everybody else is having their dreams being fulfilled, and I got to look at it out my window. Look, the joy. When would I have that? She was just also reaching for her purpose. Hallelujah. See, the enemy thought he had her. But no. See, sometimes the enemy will come and try to steal your purpose. Get you to focus on your situation and not on the kingdom mandate. He'll get you to be consumed so much with that situation that you won't pray, Pastor Lisa, right? Because that's the plot and the plan of the enemy, to get you so consumed with your problem that you won't open your mouth and begin to decree the word of God and open your mouth to begin to pray and begin to speak into the atmosphere. Because he wants us to be that consumed. See, this woman was reaching for new life. She wanted to be healed and was not willing to accept her physical condition in her protest against the issue that has betrayed her body. After she realized she was healed, she fell to her knees and began testifying about her illness that she once had. So she arose from that place of despair and faith for a better future. See, when Jesus was standing there, he was looking around, but at that moment she got healed. It was faith and power working together. See, it started with desperateness and faith that caused her to go into a community of people that she was supposed to be in her home, quarantined and isolated. But that desperateness defied all the laws of whatever was written for that ritual. She didn't care about what they thought. At that moment, that woman had something on the inside that she was expecting. And her faith made her do something out of the ordinary. That faith made her step out of the things that may have been put into place as laws. But she didn't care. But at that moment that she touched Jesus with her faith, power came from him. And he said, who touched me? And see, his sometimes there's people around you that may not understand. That they may not understand things that God do in your life. They may not understand the power that work on the inside of you. That sometimes you're looking at something in the natural. They're looking at something in the natural, but you're seeing it in the spirit. And then at the same time you're seeing it in experience, you're experiencing it by the power of God. And although they may not know just yet, until they begin to walk with Christ and begin to embrace that love of the Father and begin to embrace that power and the authority that has been given to the believers, that may seem a little different. See, at that moment that he touched her, she touched him, I'm sorry. That moment she touched him, power left that caused Jesus to respond. There's a place of faith that we got to get to in order for God to move on our behalf. And God is now saying, I want your faith in me to be established on a solid ground where you will not waver with it. You will not be shaken even if the situation looks unmanageable or trying to bring fear in your life. This woman put her trust in God. And God said, will you trust me to do the impossible? Isaiah 61, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners. That same power rests on us, on the inside of us. That is our mandate too, as the people of God, that he came to set the captives free. And with that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living on the inside of us, God is expecting us to take on that same mantle and begin to walk in that authority and begin to walk in that power and begin to speak and to set the captives free. God is wanting to deliver his church. He wants to deliver his people from a different mindset, from a worldly mindset to a kingdom mindset. He wants to heal your broken heart, those things that have set, that caused wounds in your heart for the past and the hurts that you've carried it on and on and on. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is to be sure of what we hope for, expecting, and certain of what we do not see. God wants to move on this behalf by our faith, and exercise our faith. We must be willing to take a risk. Now, are you willing to take a risk in order to move into the things of God that he's asking of you to be set free, to be delivered from the hurts from your past? Will you be made whole? See, this woman realized she needed help and was willing to do whatever means necessary to get help. See, sometimes we want to walk around like everything is okay and we put our mask on and thinking that we can't be, nobody's going to see past our mask, but let a situation occur. And we'll find out, because it comes up and out. Somebody's going to see it. But somebody that loves you is going to help walk with you to get you out of that situation, to get you set free in your mind so that you can get that word established in your heart where you don't have to walk in bondage and be walking in fear and doubt and unbelief, where you can be set free, because he said he came to set the captives free. And when you connect with God and begin to learn of him and to learn of his ways, and you begin to trust him and have faith in him, you've been through faith walking experiences with the Lord in so many situations. You've been up sometimes, you've been down sometimes, but God was with you in both of those circumstances and he brought you through it. You learned from them both, and now you're carrying a weight of what he has already put in your heart, that you don't have to worry about it because he's already brought you through it. So you know that he'll do it again. Will thou be made whole? What are we willing to do to be set free? Forgiving those who hurt us. We need to adopt that same attitude in our hearts if we want to be free from our past hurts. Holding issues against people that can result in unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentment. Hate and judgments. We got to get rid of the judgments that's in our heart. See, sometimes we think, oh, it's just a little something I said. No, because that little something can grow and become like gangrene and spread and become an affection in your body, affection of your mind, and cause you to be in bondage and in a deeper place of bondage when God says he wants you to set free. Sometimes we try to cover up that thing and put a mask over thinking nobody going to see it. But the Holy Spirit of God, those that can see in the Spirit, he begin to uncover those things because he doesn't want us walking in deceit. He doesn't want us walking in and not knowing who he is. He doesn't want us. He wants his people to be set free so that you can walk in your purpose and your destiny. It's only a distraction to get you off the plan and the will of God for your life so that you will not do damage in the kingdom of darkness. And so the enemy wants to put the deceptive things in your heart to cause you to hold and keep in bondage so that you can see people from an earthly standpoint and not from a kingdom perspective. These are a few judgments that could cause you to be in bondage. Many of us may have said it or maybe even thinking about it now. All men are dogs. All women aren't trusted. He or she will never change. They'll always be the same. They talk too much, never complimented me, never said I love you. Hypocrites. They weren't affectionate. They were too critical. They were dumb and stupid. They were not there for me. They preferred my siblings over me. They're too spiritual. They're too lazy, they're selfish, they sexually abused me. They've been unfaithful, married the wrong person, hard to please. They deceived me before marrying me, and they doesn't communicate with me, and they're a liar. We have to denounce every one of those words that we have ever spoken within our heart against someone who have offended us, that it caused us to have judgments. See, when you have a judgment, the Bible says this. It says, when you forgive your brother when he sins against you, you shall also be forgiven. But when we hold judgments in our hearts against someone, it causes you to see, it opens the door, first of all, to the enemy and deceives you. And when you're deceived and there's a blinder been put over your eyes, you cannot see that person from God's perspective. You can't see them through the eyes of love. Nor can you speak to them in that manner because you have these judgments in the back of your mind about them. So you've already executed these judgments on them. So you already saw them, that you cannot see them from a place of being already restored and repaired. You see them stuck in this place, and believe it or not, because you have already declared it in your heart, you've executed judgments. Therefore, you have stand in that place of God and judging them. And then now God has to deal with your heart. How about inner vows that we make? I'll never be like my mother or my father. See, inner vows are made based on a painful situation we've been in. Some experience we had caused these inner vows for us to make. And it causes you to be in control and take God out of the picture. So you find yourself walking not under the grace of God, but you're being in control. Many times what the enemy wants us to do, when we've been through a painful situation, he wants us to self-preserve. He wants us to think about us. He wants us to see us not seeing somebody just because they said words against us. He wants us to have these inner vows in us so that we can be in bondage too. I'll never be like my mother or my father. I'll never let anyone take advantage of me. I'll never trust another man or woman. No one's going to tell me what to do, say, or eat. I'll never get married. I'll never treat my kids the way my parents treated me. I'll never let anyone get close again. I'll never go to church again. I'll never trust or believe another pastor. I'm submitted to no man, only Jesus. I'll never work for another man or woman. How many times have we made these inner vows? What we've done, we're saying, God, you can't handle this. I got it. Because you didn't straighten it up before, but I'm going to hold on to this, is because then it gives me to be, I can be in control. See, that's the problem with most people. We don't like to feel out of control, so it keeps us to feel in control to keep us from being out of control. Does that make sense? So God doesn't want us to be walking in these. We have to denounce these inner vows that we have made, because it's keeping you in bondage. It keeps us in bondage. It keeps the grace of God out of the picture. And then we begin to walk in our flesh. See, here you are worrying about the people that you're judging when judgment is falling on you. See, you don't see them through the eyes of mercy. In Matthew chapter 18, starting at verse 21, this says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? He said, up to seven times. Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle an account with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. That was mercy. But when that servant went out, same one that was extended mercy, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. Aren't that the same words that he said, the first servant said? But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. Then the other servants saw what happened. They were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all the debt of yours, but you begged me that, because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? Ooh. Hallelujah. In anger, his master turned over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father would treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. See, that's the word. When we want mercy, we have to be able to give it. Even if that person truly did you wrong, even if everything is true what you're saying, we have to see them through the eyes of mercy. And we got to pray for them. The Bible tells us to pray for those who despitefully use you. We have to pray for them. But at the same time, if God will treat us the same way, see, what we don't realize, when we have unforgiveness in our heart, you have tormentors that come. Tormenting spirits that begin to torment your mind, bringing confusion, causing you to see things that are not there, what I call a mirage. You begin to create these mirages in your mind, and it grows and grows, and it doesn't even appear to be what it is. You start making up stuff that is not even true because of unforgiveness. And one of the things that I always look at and said, we never see this from this perspective. We look at things. Say, for instance, if somebody did hurt you, they did use you, they did despitefully hurt you, they did molest you, they did do all these horrible things, they cursed you out, they said all these evil things against you, but they are far away from you. They may be another country, another city, wherever they may be, but here you are with all that on your back. They're gone about their business, but here you still allowing them to have control. They have control because you're open up to them having control, because you're still holding on to the hurt and the baggage that you weren't supposed to be holding on when you were supposed to forgive when they hurt you. They despitefully used you. They spoke evil about you. They told you you'll never amount to anything. They told you that you're a liar. They told you that you'll never change. But you still remember that from 20 years back. And you're still carrying the weight of it from your mother and from your father. They may not have been there for you like that you felt that they should. They may have did some wrong to you. But at the same time, we have a God in heaven that forgives. And God will replace what you didn't have and put things in your life to make sure you didn't miss out. But we would need to give God a chance to do that. But as long as we're carrying the weight of this stuff on our shoulders, we're still giving them the control. We're still having this baggage, carrying it on our shoulder from way back then, when you could easily let it go and forgive. When you forgive, it releases them and it releases you. And all that weight and the thoughts of everything they did, your heart began to move with compassion. And you begin to see them in the state that the enemy had them in. See, it's nothing like that when you can really see they're in bondage too. Their hit issues hit up against your issue now. They need to be healed. They need Jesus. They need the one that can restore their soul. I'm sorry that it happened to you. We all been there. Even if it felt like they didn't deserve forgiveness. But that's the whole reason why Christ came. He shed his blood for them too. And just because they can't see it, that doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't love them. And they are beyond repair. So we have to be in a place where we really got to begin to see it from a kingdom perspective. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We have one who sympathizes with us in our weaknesses, because we have them. And that's where he can show himself mighty through those things. In our afflictions, to who we look for help and support in time of need, we need to make our way into the presence of God. There we can be restored and healed and set free and delivered. Psalms 147 and 33, it says, he heals the broken heart and binds up the wounds. He'll take all those things that broke your heart. He'll take those things and begin to cause those things to come off of your life. He wants you to be set free. He doesn't want us in bondage anymore. It's time to let that stuff go and not allow that stuff to shape who you are. Because if we're going to be shaped in the potter's hand, we can't be shaped the way he wants to shape them with all these issues that are ringing and hanging on our life, that is constantly tormenting our mind, that is hindering us from moving forward in our purpose. John 8 and 36 says, so if the Son sets free, you will be free indeed. Luke 18 and 21 says, what is impossible with man is possible with God. See, that woman, she's so awesome. She stepped into a Kairos moment in her life. Kairos means favorable, opportune moment. It's a significant event or action that happens. She reached out in her desperation from her heart, came hope that an axe gave her access to the power from the Messiah that was on the inside of him, that caused him to respond to her. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We were once in darkness, but now we've been set free. We can walk in the truth, and that truth brings us forth in the light of God. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you were had been not received mercy now, but now you have received mercy. So I decree and declare, we are the righteousness of God. We are the holy temple of God. We have to make these declarations in ourselves and in every day of our life and begin to decree what the word of God says. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. See, I love that word, fearfully and wonderfully made. When people look at us, they see the wondrous works of God. Well, they stand in awe of who God is when they see us. That is so powerful to me. We are accepted by the beloved. We are the salt of the earth. We are victorious in triumph. We are preordained. Let's give God some praise. God loves us. He loves you. And he wants the captives to be set free.